The promises of God, that was awesome. That was awesome. Yeah, Tommy doesn't going to have to run at all today. He extended all that energy, I think, already here. I do want to say this again one more time to all of our graduates. I want to say congratulations. I want to welcome your families if they're here and say congratulations to you. That's always quite an effort, quite a feat to work for a number of years for a goal and then to see it come to pass. So we want to encourage you and bless you and pronounce the favor of God upon you as you move out and do and accomplish all the things that the Lord has put in your heart, all the promises that He's given you. He wants to work them out through you, and there are going to be some great things that are going to happen. So we congratulate you again. Let me start with this story. In 1994, a 67-year-old carpenter named Russell Herman died in Marion, Illinois. In his last will and testament, he bequeathed the following: $2.4 billion to the town of Cave Rock, $2.4 billion to the city of East St. Louis, $1.5 billion for projects in southern Illinois, and in a final act of unprecedented generosity, he left $6 trillion to the Federal Reserve to pay off the national debt. That's what it was back then. It was $6 trillion. Now it's double and more than that. There was only one problem at the time of his death. The only thing Mr. Herman actually owned was a 1983 Olds Tornado. Now, there's a problem there, right? He had some great ideas, but he didn't have the wherewithal to put it through with it. Although he bequeathed it, he gave it away, but he didn't have it. And Russell Herman may not have left behind anything of monetary value, but he did leave us with a good reminder that you can't give away what you don't have. You can't give away what you don't possess. The bottom line is that he didn't have the resources to make any of what he said a reality. All the promises that he wanted to do were null and void because he didn't possess what he needed to fulfill those promises. But not so with God. He has all the means to make good on his promises. All the goods needed to make your promise that he's given you come to pass. Our big idea today is this: in a world of broken promises, God can be counted on. And the title of the message this morning is this: the promises of God are yes. Everybody say that with me. Yes! How many people like the word yes? How many people like the word no? If you're a parent, you say it a lot, don't you? No, 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 no. But we all like the word yes. In 2 Corinthians, it says this, 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For all the promises of God in Him, in Christ, are yes, and in Him, amen." Everybody say amen.
Amen.
To the glory of God through us. To the glory of God through us. And all of us have heard promises that were broken, haven't we? You hear of a person who said, "I promise you," and we take that with a grain of salt. Or you have some promise, you say, "Cross my heart and hope to die." Right? This is going to happen. As a kid, you know, we did the cross your heart, hope to die. We didn't really hope to die, but we didn't really have the resources to make every promise that we promised come to pass. And I think we've heard all of these type of empty promises. This will only take a moment of your time. I'm not trying to sell you anything. This won't hurt a bit. If I'm elected, I will. As much as we like to keep our promises, sometimes we fail. Why? Because we don't have all the resources and our flippant promises sometimes to bring them to pass. But God does. But God does. Every promise spoken in this word, He will bring to pass. And let me say this: every promise that God Himself has spoken to you, He will bring to pass. Do you believe that? Some say that God's favorite word is no, thou shalt not. We have the Ten Commandments, a lot of them: thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But actually, I think God's favorite word is the word yes. I'm a grandpa, and every time my kids, grandkids, I should say, my kids, I said no to, my grandkids, they come and ask me for something, it's like, yes and amen. I mean, it's all the time. Grandpa, can I have some candy? And that's the number one thing I hear all the time. Sure. Yeah, come on in. I just can't resist. I think God is in the same way. He can't resist. He does want to say yes to what's in our heart. But he's also given us tons of promises already that he wants to make good on, that he wants to bring to pass, that he wants to say yes to. Don't we like the word yes? We want to hear yes. If you go to a teacher, teacher, I know I got a B in this class, but you change it to an A. What do you want to hear?
Yes.
Dad, can I use the car tonight?
Yes.
At the bank, can I borrow this money?
Yes.
Maybe not. Maybe we shouldn't borrow it. We like the word yes. Yes is a great word. Everybody likes to say yes. It's hard to say no. We don't want to hear no. We don't want to hear something stop our plan, our vision, our progress. Remember the old eight ball? Remember that little magic eight, whatever it was? I'm not talking about the validity of it, but you picked it up, and it was a 20-sided cube in there that was floating, and it had all of these little things on it. And 10 of them were positive responses, 5 of them were negative responses, and 5 of them were probably, maybe, keep trying, or guess again. The idea was 75% of what the ball was going to say was the affirmative or yes. And 25%, no. We all like yes. Even the manufacturer of that little game knew that they wanted yes. If all the ball said was no, 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 they wouldn't sell any of them. They'd be throwing them away. Hey, buy the magic ball. All it says is, hey, you're a creep. Nobody wants that. Everybody wants yes. Yeah, all right, I can do it. They want someone to believe in this. Someone that says, hey, I want to do this. Yes, go and do it. All right. Or is, hey, I got 4 years to go to school. Do you think I can do it, Mom and Dad? Yes! You better. We paid for this. Yes, we like the word yes. Yes, yes. And the word amen. The word amen, it means so be it. The word amen means so be it. Or in our generation, right on. Or some say what it means is it's already done. Amen. So believing that you see it as it's already done. Amen. Already done. A fact. It will happen. It's for sure. Amen. God's promises are yes and amen. A fact. It's going to happen. It will be there. You can be assured of it. His promises for you are yes and amen. It's interesting, as I was reading, I read an article that said there are actually two words that are the same word in whatever language you go to. And that's the word amen and the word hallelujah. Whatever country you're in, they all mean the same thing. Amen and hallelujah. The promises of God are amen. Every language knows it as amen, right on, so be it. It's already done. That's the promises of God for your life. And yet the enemy's job is to get you to not believe the yes and get you to believe no. You won't make it. You're a creep. You're a jerk. You're an idiot. Why are you playing this game? Herbert Lockyer wrote a book entitled All the Promises in the Bible, in which he says there are 7,457 promises of God found in the Bible. 7,457 promises of God found in the Bible. And our text tells us today that Jesus is the yes to every single promise that God has articulated in His Word. All 7,457 of those promises. Yes. Yes. Amen. It is done. You've got it. Not just thou shalt not, not just no, 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 but yes, yes, yes. The word promise itself is used. Now, as he was going through all those, he was talking about all of the things that he said, but maybe not use the word promise. But the word promise itself is used in the Bible 111 times. And the very, and by the way, the word promise means this. It's the Hebrew word dabar, and it means this: to speak, and also to subdue. To speak. Interesting. The word promise is the word speak. I thought, well, that's interesting. But if you go back and think about the promises of God, when God speaks something, it happens. God spoke the world into being. He spoke it and He made what was not a reality, a reality by simply speaking it into being. You see that His promise, when He speaks it, it is like it is done. So be it. Amen. He will speak it into being. When God said, let there be light. Hey, let there be light. Hey, could you turn on the switch up there? I mean, that's not what He did. He wasn't waiting for someone up there to flick a switch and let there be light. When He said, let there be light, boom, it was done. Everybody in heaven said, amen. It was done. He speaks it, it's done. He speaks it, it's done. He speaks a promise in the Word. To Him, it is done. He's not worried about whether it's going to happen. Let there be light. There was not a pause. There was not a wonder. There was not a worry. It just happened. Because He spoke it. Because He said it. Because to Him it was a promise and it will happen. He's the author and the agent of the promises. Author meaning He speaks it. Agent, He's the one who carries it out. When He said, let there be light, He carried it out. He spoke it and He carried it out Himself. God carries out His promises. When He speaks it, He doesn't lie. So be it. It will be. Amen. And amen. The very first word promise in the Bible is found in Exodus 12:25. First word, first time the word promise is used. And it will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord your God will give you, just as He promised, you shall keep this service. You see, we even call it today, that land, that Israel, the land of Israel is called the promised land. Why? Because God said it would be theirs. God promised it to them. One of the number one things in the Old Testament was He was going to promise that they would have this land. The second time the word promise is used in the Old Testament. Number one is, I'm going to give you this land. Second time, Numbers 14:34. After the number of days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of my promise. Well, wait a second. I thought you said when He gives a promise, it's yes and amen. I thought the promise was going to come to pass. Now He's saying there's a breach of His promise. Second time it's used in the Scripture is about a breach in God's promise. Let me tell you what. The breach was not God. The breach was the people who didn't believe God and therefore missed out on His promise. Just because God promises it to you doesn't mean you get it unless you're willing to follow along with His word, His way, to receive the promise. If I told you, I have $1 million for you all, and you're going, why isn't it my bank account? Why isn't it my bank account? Why isn't it my bank account? You have to come up here and receive it. And nobody's moving. Oh, my son-in-law, sit down. You have to move. You have to participate. You have to participate in the promise. And what happened is Israel, and the second time He uses this word promise, I'm going to give you this land. Second time, I'm not. Not to you. You see, the promise still happened. Just that those people missed out on that promise. Well, the promise came. And there were people going, yee-haw! But it wasn't the people that first heard it. It went down the line a little bit. It went down the line. My observation, you must believe the promise to qualify for it. You must believe the promise to qualify it. God wishes that all men be saved. Are all men saved? Answer, why not? Because they don't believe. You've got to believe in the promise in order to receive the promise. God's promise is for this whole earth, the whole world. He wishes that none should perish, but all receive eternal life. It's for everyone. Does everyone get it? No, because they don't qualify for the promise by believing the promise. How many times do we disbelieve God? Oh, that'll never happen. That'll never happen to me. Oh, I'm just a nobody. I mean, we talk so negative. Believe that God's against us rather than for us. I think sometimes we look at all of our inadequacies and all of the problems and all of the issues, and we put up a pretty good defense as to why God wouldn't want to give us anything because we're the scum of the earth. And honestly, we probably are. But you know, the great thing is He's redeemed us from scum. By the blood of Jesus Christ, He took scum and washed it up. And we are all a testimony to that. But we must then believe. He wants to do you good. He wants to do you good. No, He should punish me. He should be mad at me. I did something wrong. I said a wrong word over here. I did something bad over there. He shouldn't give me His blessing. God wants to give you His blessing. He wants to give it to you. He wants to forgive you and then bless you. And actually, forgiveness in itself is one of the greatest blessings we could have. He loves you. The people missed out on the promise because of unbelief, but the promise still came to pass, but to another people, another generation. God's promises are yes, but you must qualify. We must believe the promises in order to get the promises. Do you believe? Do we believe? Do we believe? It's yes and amen, regardless of the circumstances, because you see, ladies and gentlemen, when they went to the promised land, they looked at all the giants. That's what messed them all up. They said, there's no way God could give us that promise because there's bad things in the promise that He has for us. And God says, it doesn't matter what's there. It doesn't matter how it looks. It matters what I say. It doesn't matter what it looks like in your life right now. It matters what God says. It matters what He says. You're redeemed. You're forgiven. You're free. My blessing's upon you. You're the head and not the tail. His promises are for you. They're yes and amen, but you must cooperate. You must believe. You must receive them. And know that His plan is for you. It's good. It's good. It's good. In 1 Kings, it says this. This is when Solomon gets done. David goes into the promise, you know, we go from into the promised land, and then we have all the judges, and then we have the kings, and David rids out a lot of the problems in the land, and then Solomon comes, and there's really rest, and the kingdom's really subdued. This land that God gave them under Solomon's reign was the biggest of ever. And here is Solomon speaking. And so it was, when Solomon had finished praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord, that he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees, and his hands spread up to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he, say it with me, promised. There has not failed one word of all his good, which he promised through his servant Moses. Not one word of it fell short. My next observation. It may take some time, but God always makes good on His promises. Every word, every word, every word. But it may take some work to get there. Our problem, I think, with the promises of God, when God gives us a promise, or there is a promise, we want to present it to us on a silver platter. See, it's promise. It's an illustration, folks. Okay, everybody laugh. Okay. It's promise. Oh. It's promise. I thought it was the same on both sides. I was going, I can see it, but you guys can't see it. And that's sometimes our problem. We can't see the promises of God. Thank you. This is an interactive message. Sometimes you don't see the promise. But God has a promise for you. His promise is that He can rescue you out of any deep mud hole as He did just me, just now. Promise. We look for God's promises on a silver platter. The only problem is this. Most promises that we think are promises, when they come on a silver platter, they're usually from somebody else. They're usually from somebody else because the enemy does a great job of trying to get all the promises and trying to feed you promises, and he'll try to feed them to you on a silver platter. Do you want some promises?
Sure.
Now, the interesting thing about this is this. This isn't butter. This is margarine of some sort. This isn't even the real stuff. All right? You know, now they're saying now, you know, everybody went to, we're supposed to eat margarine because it's supposed to be better for you and blah, 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 blah. I've heard now there's statistics that say actually eating this stuff is worse for you and you're better off to eat less butter and enjoy it. Enjoy the real thing versus the artificial thing. The enemy always promises you the artificial thing as a promise on a silver platter and say, eat, you'll enjoy it. But God always promises you the real thing. Amen. And it's not always on a silver platter. It's not always on a silver platter. It may take some work, some energy, some effort. When they went into the promised land, they had to take some energy, some effort to subdue what was in there. It was their promise, but they had to take some action to get their promise. God didn't just throw it out there on a silver platter. But the enemy does. Hey, I promise you, this relationship will fulfill you. Do whatever he says. If you want this relationship, just do what he says. Throw yourself at this guy. Or throw yourself at this girl. Or hey, if you want to climb a ladder, you got to cheat some. Don't worry about it. You'll get up there. Hey, cheat on an exam. You'll get an A. It'll be better for you than a B. There's so many things that the enemy throws out on the silver platter. Just click this button. You'll enjoy life much better today. I promise. I promise you. I promise you. But it's not good for you. The promises of God are yes and amen. They may not come in on a silver platter, but I guarantee you this, they will be good for you. Now and forever. Now and forever. God promises good things. We want promises handed to us sometimes on a silver platter. But more often you get from God the crock and the cream and you have to churn the butter yourself. All right, I got it there and I got it. All right, hey, this is a promise from God. It seems like I'm working harder than you. Believe me, I'm working harder than you. Sometimes we have to put forth some sweat, some energy, some effort to cooperate with the promise of God. But you get the real thing. Not the artificial fake thing. Go after the real promises of God. And sometimes the real promises cause you to grow on the inside. Not just pass over things, not just sweep things under the carpet, but they cause you to grow. It took some time to make some butter, but when he gives you the means and the wisdom to do what he's called you to do, to fulfill the promises that he has for you. I think all you graduates realize that it took some energy and some work, did it not? You didn't just go, hey, all my classes came to me on a silver platter. It was just awesome. I did nothing. I sat here and just received grades. A, 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 A. Got all done. After 4 years, I get an A. I get a 4 point. I just walk through a line and now I'm ready for life. Ready for your job. Hey, all right, first day. Hey, could you please take a do what? Life and going through the things God has for you prepares you for something. The New Testament. We turn to the New Testament now about promises. In Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Acts 2:33, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:39, for the promise is to you and your children and to all who are far off. God's promise is to all, and his promise is himself, the Holy Spirit. His promise to you is himself, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Here's my promise. I'm going to give you me. Not just a land. I'm not going to give you just a land. You see, in the Old Testament, the promise was this land that was going to happen. Or then on David's throne, David would sit on there forever, his family, which was fulfilled in Christ. But in the New Testament, we have the Holy Spirit, the presence of God as our promise. The very presence and nature of God dwelling in us as a promise. I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You're mine. You'll enjoy a relationship like none other. I promise you that. He also promises us eternal life in the New Testament. 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. I'm going to promise you a relationship with me that will last forever and ever and ever and ever. Relationship. Promise. I promise you. And it's yes. And amen. Yes. And amen. The promises of God in the Old Testament was a land and a kingship forever. The promises of God in the New Testament was a life and a relationship forever. Forever with God. Forever with God. I promise you. I promise you me. I promise you myself. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Now, what does that say? Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without, say it with me.
Wavering.
Why would he say without wavering? Why do we have to hold on without wavering? Because we're subject to waver. And why are we subject to waver? Because the promises may tarry a while. And while they're tarrying, we start to waver. Well, God said, if I wait for it, all this great. But right now, we start wavering. We start wavering on the promises. We believe something so strong, so secure, and we go by a few months, and all of a sudden, we start wavering. We start wavering on it, back and forth, because we don't see it right now. And so we waver. But remember, it's the whole process that develops us to enjoy his promise. He's also growing you in the process. My observation is this: we might have to go through some no's to get to some yeses. We might have to go through some no's to get to God's yes. You may have to go through some no's to get through God's yes. Sometimes good things take time. Sometimes good things take time. God is for you, not against you. Here you are wavering. I don't know. God's promises aren't coming. I don't know. I'm wavering. He's for you. He's not against you. Maybe God's mad at me. Have you ever thought that? Has anybody ever said, God, I think you're mad at me? Ever thought that before? I have. God, you're really ticked off at me. You must be mad. Now, let me tell you what he is. He's madly in love with you is what he is. He's madly in love with you is what he is. Because with all of that, he's trying to give the wherewithal to say, I'm here for you, I'm here for you, I'm here for you, I'll forgive you. God is madly in love with you. But we waver and think that God's mad at us, and therefore what we're going through is God's punishment on us. So God's punishing us for what we did or did not do that we should have done or not done. Hopefully that makes sense. And in that process, when we feel God's mad at us, we start to waver. You start thinking God's mad at you, you start to waver. You start blowing around. And we start believing and looking for other things on a silver platter that make life a little bit easier. Let me say this. He's not trying to make your life hard to teach you a lesson. I think sometimes we go, oh, well, all that, because God wanted to teach you a lesson. God never shakes his finger and goes, I'm going to teach you a lesson. Because he's different than us. He doesn't have that vindictiveness inside of him at all. He's madly in love with you. He's not trying to teach you a lesson like that, shaking his finger. He's trying to grow you as a man or woman of God. A positive thing, not a negative thing. Not teaching you a lesson. Not going to do something bad for you to mess your life up so you will know better. He's trying to take us through some difficulties so we'll grow better. So we'll grow better. And hopefully as we grow better, we will know better. But do you hear what I'm saying? He's not up there shaking his finger at you, mad and ticked off at you. He loves you. He loves you. He cares about you. He's growing you. During the time when it's not happening, he says, tarry, tarry, tarry. Because as you tarry and you wait for it, I'm going to grow you stronger and more steady and unwavering if you'll stand strong with me. The promise is coming. Don't waver. Don't stop. I'm growing you because I love you. Not teaching you a lesson because I'm mad at you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He's growing you so he can show you his promises. Yes is in your future, even though you've heard a bunch of no's. For those of you going out on the job market, you're going to start off, you're going to hear, no, I'm sorry, the position is filled. No, I'm sorry, we don't need you. No, you look great, but we don't. No, no. If you went, no, 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 I guess I'm done. I'm over. I'm not going to ever work because they said three no's and you're out, right? Three strikes, you're out. I guess I can't work. Let me tell you what. You're just three no's closer to a yes. You're three no's closer to a yes. If somebody told you, you need five no's before you'll get your job, wouldn't you be running out of here trying to get no's? Hey. I mean, we'd be doing as much as we could to try to get a no because we knew one closer to a yes. You are one closer to a yes because God wants to bless you and his promises are yes and amen. Don't stop though, because in the process of the no's, God grows you. And in the process of the no's, the enemy brings a silver platter of a promise that will ruin you. No. 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 Yes. Wow. I'm actually prepared for the yes because of the no's. I'm actually prepared for the yes because of the no's. And God uses no's to prepare you. But he has a yes for you because he loves you and he's out for your good. Even though no's are disappointing, remember there's a yes. There's a yes. There's a yes in your future. Zig Ziglar. He tells a story of him needing a room one night. And it was sold out, kind of like it is today. Come up here. A lady was telling me she was doing something for one of her kids, had to make an emergency trip up here. And then she said, yeah, I'm trying to find a hotel. I go, you're not going to find one within 100 miles of here. Not a good time. I said, hey, if you need a place, we'll let you stay at our house on the floor. But no, I'm just kidding. She ended up staying with a relative, but you're not going to get a room. Zig Ziglar, you need a room for a night in a hotel, but they said, we have no room, no room at the inn. He asked to see the person's boss that he was talking to, because he asked him a number of times. The boss said, no. Zig asked to see the general manager, and the general manager said, no. You don't have one room here? He goes, no. And Zig said this, if I were the president, or let me say this, if the President of the United States was coming here and wanted to stay in your hotel tonight, would you have a room for him? And the general manager said, yes, of course we would. And Zig said, I'm pretty sure he's not coming. I'll take his room. You're only a few no's away from a yes. The promises of God are yes and amen. How many no's will you go through to get your yes? Will you give up too soon? Don't let your no's talk you out of your yes. Don't let your no's talk you out of your yes. Most people, the no's talk them out of the yes. God wants you to keep going. He's not done. He's not done. He's got another gear, as the prophecy said. He's going to pull you out of stuff. He's got more for you. He's got a lot more for you. Do you believe that your yes will come? Your yes for your job, your yes for your promotion, relationship, a healing, whatever you have is a promise from God. Do you believe it's coming? And in the process, you're growing through the no so you can handle the yes with dignity, humility, honor, grace, and thankfulness. Everybody hates a spoiled child. Because he got yes, 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 yes. And at the end, he's arrogant, proud, stupid, dumb, and I mean, we don't like him. There's a story told of an experiment with a barracuda and a mackerel. They put a glass partition between the barracuda and the mackerel. I think it was a holy mackerel. Between this barracuda and this mackerel. That barracuda, man, he kept, boom, trying to go after that mackerel. He kept hitting himself on that glass. Bam, 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 bam. And every time, bam, bam. I'm sure the barracuda probably said, holy mackerel. And he did it so many times, he finally quit. Then they took the partition out. And the mackerel swam, and they swam together. The barracuda never once attacked the mackerel because he had been conditioned by the no that there was not a yes coming. Had he tried one more time, he would have had a nice fish dinner. One more time. Try one more time. Try one more time. If you know God has a yes, then you'll keep going and you won't stop at the no's. There are yeses looking for you in your future. God has them because He says His promises are yes and amen. He has a yes looking for you. It may not happen on your time, but keep going, keep growing, keep getting strengthened and shaped and prepared. Because a yes is coming, and when it does, you'll be ready in character, in quality, in thankfulness. God has a yes right around the corner. But what about all the junk that happened in my past? I still think God's a little bummed at me. All this junk that happened in my past, all the junk there. Another observation, you are not defined by your past, you're prepared by it. You're not defined by your past, you're prepared by it. A bunch of the mistakes and sins that you did, you're kind of going, ha, 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 I see the silver platter, I see the promises, that looks real familiar to last time I partook of that, and it went, bum, 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 not good. And it caused a lot of heartache in my life, a lot of devastation to me. And it looked just like that silver platter with that promise, because that's an artificial promise. That's not the real thing. The real thing, it comes from God. The real thing, it comes from God, and therefore my past prepares me for the awesomeness of my future. And gives me wisdom of what not to and what to do as I move forward. There are yeses in your future, but you're going to have to go through some no's to get there. Don't give up. Just one no away from a yes. It's funny, Pastor Tom and I got a call, and I had to help someone unclog a drain. It had filled up their sink, and it was just about ready to overflow, and then it stopped. And I go, holy mackerel, what are we going to do? Asked Pastor Tom to come out and help me, and he did. He was so gracious to do that. What a great friend. And he got this snake, and we ended up having to snake it out. And so, you know, when you think about a snake, it's kind of a what would you call a metal metal cable kind of thing that's kind of hardened in it, and you kind of run it down the drain, and it's in a little spool, and you push it down the drain, and you kind of spin it like this with your hand. And they have electric ones, but we're cheap, so we just use these. And so I'm pushing it down, getting it all the way down, you know, and I've gone. He's got 25 feet of it. I've gone 24 plus feet on it. I'm going, we go back down there. Did it work? And we look, and it's doing better. It's going, it's draining a little bit, but we didn't get the clog out. So I'm thinking, I'm going to get some of this clobber, which is some of this stuff you pour in, and maybe it'll get through the thing. And I just kind of bummed. I went back to the spot where we were doing it, and I said, I'm just going to try it one more time. So I go in there, and we do the same thing, and I pull all the way down. And as I'm pushing it down, you push it down, you know, and normally you have to kind of spin it down to get it down, but now it's just going down. I'm going, well, it means it's all free. Doggone it. And they go all the way to the end, and it comes out of the little spool, you know, the very end of it. So I just kind of push it like that. I get literally 6 inches from the end, and it stops. And I go, well, I'll be doggone. Like, maybe I'm hitting a corner. Well, I put it back on the little thing, and I start spinning it, and churning it. I thought I was making butter. And nothing's happened. I'm getting tired. And I'm about ready to give up, and I'm going, I just don't think it's gonna. I go, hey, Tom! And I go, did it go down? He goes, yes, it went down! Hallelujah! Amen! Two words known by every language. Completely solved the problem. I was 6 inches at the end of the doggone thing away from my yes. But we give up 6 inches short. Will you give up 6 inches short of your goal? 6 inches short of your promise? 6 inches short of your yes and amen? God has it for you in your future. He's just trying to teach you, don't give up. Stand strong. Let me shape you and prepare you to enjoy the yeses of the promises that I have for you. Let me conclude. Has God spoken any promises to you? Does He want to give them to you? I want you to say yes and amen. Say it with me. Yes and amen. Does God love you?
Yes.
Does He have a great plan for your life?
Yes. Amen.
Can He forgive you for all the dumb stuff you've done?
Yes.
Is Jesus coming back?
Yes. Amen.
Does God want to bless and favor you?
Yes.
Is my wife Foxy? Yes and amen. Hallelujah! Amen! What are your promises that you're letting go of? They're starting to get drug out of your grip. Know that God is preparing you. He's preparing you for the yes. Father, we thank You that all of the promises, not some, all of the promises of God are yes and amen. The promises of this word and the promises that we know You, God, have spoken to our heart. We know they're yes and amen. So give us courage, Lord, to stand strong. To not believe the lies of the enemy, the promises that come in on a silver platter because they're easy. But help us to stand strong and to believe that in the process of my nose, I'm growing strong in God. And I will not give up on my yes. For surely as He said, let there be light, it will happen in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. As we close, let me say this. I'm going to have a number of people up here. Tony, get a number of folks up here. And if you want prayer for something or an area in your life where you've kind of given up on something, we're going to put some people here, some prophetic people here as well. Steve, come on up. And they're going to pray for you and prophesy over you if you need that. They want to believe with God for you, whatever it is. If you have something or want prayer for something, come up here and they're gonna speak into your life. They're gonna pray for you. They're gonna believe with you that God will do amazing things, that you're just a few no's away from a great yes in your life. Come, let them pray for you. The second thing is this: today is also our Rally Sunday. One of the promises of God is that He puts the solitary in families, that He doesn't want us alone. Don't be alone. Be in a family. Get into a small group. There's some great small groups that are happening this summer. Have some fellowship and some relationship and grow in God together. We're to grow as we rub shoulders together. Not alone. Because when we're alone, we start believing the lies of the silver platter, the promises that come from an artificial God. Artificial. Get involved in a small group. They'll have some ideas. I think all of them are back there. I don't know if they're putting something on the overhead about it. Graduates, again, we congratulate you and bless you and all that the Lord has in store for you. And next week, we're going to talk about mothers. If there ain't one great promise out there, it's the promise of a great mother. We're going to talk about those mothers next week for Mother's Day. God bless you guys. Enjoy this week. And be looking for your yes and amen. God bless.